This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Ginger, for that beautiful prelude this morning. You have started our worship service off with just the greatest tone and praising our Lord. I am so glad that all of you have joined us this morning, especially you guys here in the sanctuary and those on Facebook. We're so glad that you've joined us too. And for those who are on Facebook, if you'd pull up our website, www.fbcelon.org, you can follow along with the bulletin and sing with us as you're at home today. I just want to say how excited I am to be here today. And it's always a joy to have guests with us. And I will introduce our guests a little bit later. Couple announcements this morning. I'll try to keep it short. There's a lot in your bulletin, but I will make it very brief and very short this morning. This Sunday, our children will be going to see the Burlington Sock Puppets play baseball at 4:30 this morning. We'll meet here in the church parking lot. On Tuesday, June the 27th, we have a group that is so faithful in going to our senior retirement home, Golden Years. And if you want to go play bingo or just help and just enjoy the fellowship, see Sandy or see Kramer or myself or David, and we'll get you signed up to go. And we're thankful for that ministry. And I thank Sandy and Kramer so much for doing this 2 times a month. I know y'all seen all the posters around the building, upstairs, hallways, the foyer. As you know by now, we're celebrating 75 years of ministry here at Elon. And if you haven't signed up, you've seen the table as you come in. Upstairs, you've seen the table. And you can also do it online. And we've opened up the August dates now for those who don't like to drive at night, because on the July dates, it's basically only nighttime slots left. So if you don't drive at night, you can sign up for the August dates, and that's out there, or you can go online. Please, please, we want everybody in the directory. Even if you're not members, we still want you in there. And you get a free 8x10, I think it is, picture, and then you get a free directory too. So please, if you are able, sign up. And if you're not able, let me know and I'll come take your picture. You don't even have to come here. I'll come to you and take your picture. Also, Camp Greenlee started Monday, and they started off with wonderful weather, Leah said. She said it was really tough with all the rain when there 95 people are cooped up in one little building. But hopefully this week's going to be a lot better. So if you haven't gone to the grocery store and picked up some of the items that are listed in your bulletin, please do so, because that really helps out the counselors, the camp, the campers, everybody. It just helps take a load off of their budget if we can provide the snacks for them. Also, July 9th, we're having a special call business meeting, roundtable meeting, right after the service on July the 9th. And in your Sunday school classes, you saw a paper about what that meeting's about. And you will be receiving an email this week all about this call thing, and I'll tell you that it's we've been contacted by Abundant Ministries about hosting them, and they're coming in here and using our facilities for their ministry. And so this is what that's all about, and you'll see more information about it before July 9th. We are so blessed to have two guests today. I will introduce our preacher in a few minutes, and most of you know who that is, and that's why I have the biggest smile on my face this morning, because it's my son. But who just played our auditory is Ginger Wyrick, and she's over here sitting by our mom and dad, LaVon and Euless, and her sister Crystal. Ginger is no stranger to us. Ginger grew up in this church, and she was telling me this morning that she was the pianist here for, I forgot how many years you said, Ginger. While she was in high school, she was the pianist for this church. And that was during the time when Bruce Martin was here, if anybody remembers that. But so a little bit about Ginger. She is a conductor, an author, a clinician, a lecturer, a teacher, a performer. And she serves on the music faculty at UNC Charlotte. As a lifelong musician, Ginger is established professionally in piano, flute, organ, harpsichord, and voice. She is the author of numerous books and on the music and curriculum development, leads workshops, lectures on music education, adjudicates competitions, appears as guest conductor for honor choirs and festivals. She has also performed throughout the United States, across Europe and Africa. Ginger leads training events for all ages and has appeared at the National Symposium presenting her research on the changing role of music in the United States and the local church. She is active as a liturgical arts consultant, a choir director, and an organist for congregations throughout the Charlotte region. Ginger holds leadership position in several professional organizations and is the former president of the North Carolina American Choral Directors Association. She is a recipient of the, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, Ginger, Laura Hoggard Award for Distinguished Service and Choral Music. Ginger is the daughter of LaVon and Ulysses Wyrick. She is married to Richard Hipp. Now, let's stand and sing, "We Have Come Into His House." Let's stand and worship.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord.
You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our opening scripture this morning, it comes from James chapter 4, starting at verse 7 and reading through verse 12. And we start here at verse 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. And there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Let us pray. So gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can gather together this morning. Lord, I thank you for the ability to be in your presence, to be in your house, to sing glory and magnify your name. And Father, as we reflect on these words from James, the brother of Jesus. Help us to start thinking about what it means to judge ourselves. Lord, to look inward as we prepare our hearts for your word to be received this morning. God, we ask that you be with those who aren't with us today, for whatever reason that may be, that you keep them safe. Those who are traveling, who are on vacation, those who are away from us. Father, I ask that you open our hearts, our ears, our minds, our eyes, so that we may see and receive you today. Be with us. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Well, my mic is messing up, so I will just speak from here. Our next set of hymns is Majesty, All Hail King Jesus, and All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. All hail King Jesus. Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity I'll sing His praises. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saved you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saved you by His grace, and crown Him.
I got to take a breath for a minute. Also around the church, you should have seen some of these flyers. And this is one of our own folks, Angie Miller, for those who don't know, wrote a children's book called Rosie and her friend Bill. And on July the 16th at 5:00 in the afternoon, Angie's going to be up in the fellowship hall, and she's going to have books available for anybody that like to buy one for their child, their grandchild, or their neighbor's children, or just for yourself if you want to read a kid's book. You can buy one. The cost is $10, and you will have them here. She will also sign, autograph the book for you. And, of course, we're going to eat. We're going to have an ice cream social. And it's for all ages, just not for kids or youth. It's for everybody to come and join around the table, have ice cream, and then Angie will read the book to us and sign the books. So mark that on your calendar for July the 16th at 5:00. Now, I will call on Sandy. There she is. And she will bring our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings that you bestow upon us so freely. Lord, for the sunshine after the rain, and for our family and friends, and for the loving and caring church fellowship that we are in today. We thank you for Ginger and for Jonathan, who are sharing their gifts with us today. And we pray that you'll be with David and his family and bring them safely back to us after a restful vacation. And we pray, Father, that as we return to you our tithes and offerings today, that you will guide and direct their use according to your will for the furtherance of your kingdom and to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. put that.
Hold on. Got the dress and steel.
It happens. It happens. Well, good morning again, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here with you all to preach God's word. It's something that I enjoy immensely, and having not been able to do it weekly for the last year and a half now almost, it's something that I miss dearly. So anytime I get the opportunity to be in front of a congregation giving God's word, it is a joy. So I hope you're blessed but also challenged by the words that I have this morning. Because it's not an easy text to preach nor to listen to. But this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, reading verses 1 through 6. And starting at verse 1, we read this. And the translation might be a little different. I'm going to read from the NASB. I forgot to tell y'all that this week. So I'll take the blame for that one. But starting at verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. If you would, join with me in prayer this morning. So, gracious God, we come to you this morning asking that you be with us. Father, as we dive into this text, Lord, I ask that the words of your Son, our Savior Jesus, penetrates our hearts as we think about these words in judgment. Lord, be with us. Help me to be a vessel for you to speak your words. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So a taxi driver and a priest, you would call priests father, by the way, to answer that question, approach heaven's gates together. The taxi driver went first, and St. Peter asked him, well, what is your name? He said, well, I'm Brandon Wilson. I was a taxi driver in New York for 15 years. St. Peter pulls out the book of life, gets to the W's, kind of scrolls, finds Brandon Wilson and says, welcome. Here's your silken robe and a golden staff. Enter the gates of heaven. The taxi driver walked through the gates wearing his silken robe and bearing his golden staff that he had earned. And then the priest approached St. Peter and boomed in a preacher's voice, I'm Father Dan Snow, who has preached at St. Mary's for 50 years. St. Peter looked at his list and smiled and said, welcome, Mr. Snow. Take this wool robe and this wooden staff and enter the gates of heaven. Wait a minute, the priest said. Why does the taxi driver get a better robe and staff than me? I've spent my whole life dedicated to the church. Well, up here, St. Peter says, we go by results. See, while the taxi driver drove, people prayed. And while you preached, people slept. Now, I don't imagine many people sleeping with Jesus preaching, but it could have happened. And the reason I open up with a story like that is this. Have you ever thought about the intent behind Jesus' preaching? What was he trying to portray here at this part in the Sermon on the Mount? What was he trying to teach to those who were listening? The Sermon on the Mount itself, it's the longest recorded scripture or sermon of Jesus in Scripture. And here he's instructing his disciples, those who wish to follow him, what it means to be a Christian. And if you look at Matthew 5, 1, where the sermon starts, we read that a large gathering occurs. But if you read the Sermon on the Mount closely, what you see is as that crowd continues to listen to Jesus' preaching, people start leaving. They start going away. And really, by the time he gets to the last couple of texts there at the end of verse 7, Jesus is really just talking to his disciples, those who he knew would stay with him. Now, I once read that following the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, if we were to do that and just read those headlines, I would encourage you to do that today. It's a recipe for a holy Christian life. But if we start at chapter 7 and read backwards, do everything in reverse, the opposite of what Jesus says, it's actually a recipe for disaster. We judge others more than ourselves. We don't follow the golden rule. We don't know what the tree and fruit of life is. We see the gate as being wide and open to everyone, but not narrow, and Jesus is just someone. And when I think about this, what I think is this. Are we choosing to be like Christ? To follow him? To listen to him, or to be like hypocrites? Do we follow his teachings or someone else's? Do we choose to judge others, or do we look inward and first try to judge ourselves? Do we want to point the finger at those around us and call out what other people are doing while not really looking at what maybe we're doing ourselves? As we dive into this text, what I hope we see is just this first. First thing Jesus tells us to do here in Matthew chapter 7, don't judge others. Verses 1 and 2, I'll read to you again. It says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Now I think if you've been around church long enough, you've probably heard Matthew 7:1 quoted. Even those who don't know Scripture, they know Matthew 7:1. Do not judge. I feel like you're judging me. And yeah, that's what the Scripture says. But I think for most, what they mean when they say that is, I can do what I want. Jesus loves me for me. You have to accept this lifestyle that I have. It doesn't matter because do not judge. But have we ever thought about what Jesus really means by judge here? Because I did. Jesus, the Son of God, one part of the Trinity, he knew what judgment was. He knows what judgment is. And to him, that judgment that he's telling us not to do to others, it's harsh. It's extreme. It's more than Christian accountability or helping those in times of need, calling out maybe some things we see going on. It's more than rebuking or correcting someone in love. Things we're called to do as Christians. This type of judgment that Jesus is saying here in these first two verses, it's judgment that's reserved for God alone. So what Jesus is saying is this. You let God judge. And you don't. But if you do, verse 2, you will be judged, more harshly. Judged to the measure by which you are judging. And I think Jesus, what he's portraying here is just this. He's telling us not to judge someone with arrogance. You know, thank God I'm not like so-and-so over there. Or with pride. I would never do that. Or with evil intent in our hearts. Can you believe what they did and we gossip and start spilling everyone's secrets? We don't judge from a position of self-worth, of higher than thou, where we lift ourselves up by pushing and belittling others around us. That's not Christian love. That's not what Jesus is trying to portray. That's not phileo love or agape love. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. We don't judge in a way where we're playing and placing ourselves on a throne and realm deserved and devoted by God either. Because that's not our place to do so. And I think what Jesus is trying to say is just this. We must reflect and check our own hearts first. What's our motive? What's our intent? Why do we do the things that we do, or why do others do that? Are we judging to judge, or is there something else at work? Because if you go back to Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, what you see is Jesus says, if you want to be forgiven, you must first forgive. And I think following along that same train of thought, if we want to help others, we must first look inward. Do not judge. Now, friends, I can't speak for everyone here, but I know my own sin. I know my own struggles, my mistakes, and I can't judge anyone for what they've done because I've done it. Maybe worse, maybe not. I don't know. But we're all sinners. And we're trying to be more like Christ, or at least hopefully trying to be more like Christ each and every day. To seek to understand Him and live this Christian life together. So if we can't judge, what can we do? Well, we can love. We can talk to those who are hurting. We can listen to the hurts of those around us. Seek to understand, why are you like this? What's happened for you to think this way? We can share the good news of Jesus with them, but we cannot judge them. See, God knows their heart. He knows their intent. He knows their character. And God alone can judge. Not you, and definitely not me. So we don't judge others, so what can we do? Well, if we continue in Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5, Jesus says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. We don't judge others, but what we do is judge ourselves. And I love the illustration that Jesus uses here. Maybe it's because I worked in a sawmill for a year, and I was around sawdust and saw logs every day. But I love this visual representation that Christ is giving. A speck of dust. We can see that in someone's eye 50 feet away, and we'll call it out. But we miss the 4x4 that's coming out of our own eye, was kind of the illustration Jesus is saying here. And what he's talking about is just this. It's hypocrisy. It's easy to point out the flaws in others, but never to address what's going on in our own hearts. We're quick to say what's wrong with you, but how dare you try to tell me what's wrong with me? That's a no-no. And yet Jesus is calling us to do that. He's telling us, reflect on your own life, your own sin, your own struggles. And before you judge others, judge yourself. It's called self-reflection, where we take a minute to inventory our own lives and see where we're wrong, what we've done. And you might say, well, I'm never wrong. Really? Never. Ever. I would point you back to Matthew 6. Ask for forgiveness. Because that's pride. Jesus is calling us to examine ourselves. And when we do, what we see is this. Not the speck in our brother or sister's eye, but the log in ours. We see the sin that's in our own heart. And while the illustration is powerful, the comparison that Jesus uses in verse 5 too, it's powerful. You hypocrite. This is the fourth time now Jesus has used that word in the Sermon on the Mount. And hypocrite, that word itself... I don't care, Siri, what you found. That word hypocrite in Greek, it means actor. Those who would wear masks in general, reflecting different emotion. So I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm joyful. You know the emotions, you've seen it if you've been around a theater stage. But I'm just going to take that off. Hypocrites were just that, though. They were actors. They were fakes, they were phonies. They were people who weren't genuine followers of Jesus. people who liked what he said initially. But when he got to a point like, hey, look inward, they're like, oh no, Jesus, I'm not doing that. And then they would leave. How dare you say that about me? You don't know me. Jesus does. He knows all. He's omniscient. Hypocrites were also those who chose to do nothing to better themselves. See, if we apply what Jesus says, if we deal with our sin first, then we can be more faithful followers of Jesus. And notice how he closes out verse 5. First, take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly that the speck of your brother's eye. Meaning when we deal with our sin first, we can help others deal with theirs, their struggles, their hurts. And it comes from a place not of judgment or belittling them for sinning, but a place of genuine love. Friend, I see where you're struggling, and I've been there. Let me help you. That's accountability. This whole process, though, self-reflection, care, love, removal, it's guided by genuine love, by holiness. We don't judge others, but we do judge ourselves. And now you might be asking, well, Jonathan, that's all well and good. We don't judge others. I get that. We don't judge ourselves, or we do judge ourselves. Okay, granted. What about verse 6, though? Hogs and dogs? How does that tie into this whole message? Verse 6, Jesus says this again. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine or pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Final point I want to make is this. We do use good judgment. What we call that is discernment. It's an overarching theme throughout this verse and this text, where Jesus is saying we witness, we talk about faith, we share our beliefs, we practice discernment, but we have to understand the context, too, of this. And what Jesus is saying in verse 6, some will be receptive to what you have to say, some will not. Those who are receptive, and you have to use discernment and kind of gauge this when you're talking, share the truth, tell them about Jesus, be open and honest about different things. But those who aren't, we have to be willing to walk away, to just step back and give them time to process. And the way Jesus frames it is by using two animals, dogs and hogs. Now, dogs in the context of this scripture aren't the domesticated fur babies that we think of today. From it, dogs were scavengers. During Jesus' time, they weren't pets. Really, it's the equivalent of probably a possum or a raccoon that we would think of today. That's what a dog was in Jesus' context. Not something you'd want to bring into your house, show off to your friends, and definitely not something you'd spend over $1,000 for. But we do that for our fur babies now. And for all intents and purposes, dogs were unwanted. They failed to see what was holy. Hogs, historically speaking, are unclean creatures to Jewish people. They ate slop. Really, they'd eat anything put in front of them. They still do. Feed a pig anything, they'll eat it. So Jewish people would not associate with pigs whatsoever. So in this context, Jesus was saying, discern those that you wish to be around and those that you don't. And don't waste things that are holy with creatures that would only destroy, tear, and then turn on you and try to do the same to you. Now, does that mean we shouldn't share our faith? No. But I think what it does mean is we discern how much we share. From it, some people will talk to their blue in the faith. I feel like some people are naturally gifted with the gift of gab, my mom included. She can talk to anyone, loves to. I am probably more reserved and shy in that regard. But we still share our faith with those around us. and once we rid that log from our eye, and we're open to our Savior, we repent of our sin, then we share with others. Now, hogs and dogs, these aren't people who are just different from us. They come from a different class or a different socioeconomic structure, a different race, or a different religion. These are people who don't appreciate the truth of God whatsoever. They reject everything related to Christianity. If you want to see this play out a little differently, look at Luke chapter 10, verses 8 through 12. Because here Jesus, he's instructing his disciples how they are to go out into the world. In verse 8, he says this: "When you enter any town and they welcome you, eat the things before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' When you enter any town and they do not welcome you, go into the streets and say, 'We are wiping off even the dust of our town that clings to our feet as witnesses against you.' Know this for certain: the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." Jesus was telling his disciples, some places will be receptive to you. They will welcome you openly, and you share with them. But some places won't. And for those who aren't, don't be afraid to just wipe your feet off of that area and leave. He was giving precedent for what it means to share his word. And in doing so, we practice discretion and discernment. Now, I think we must share the good news of Jesus because the world needs it. We need to be reminded of the love of a Savior, someone who died for us, willingly laid down his life. Will people be receptive? Some will. Some won't. But we share nonetheless. And the bottom line is just this: judgment, it's God's alone. There might be some with sawdust in their eye, but before we attempt to remove that from them, let us first judge ourselves and remove that log from ours. Let us learn to be compassionate, to be kind, to be loving, and to be more like Jesus each and every day. Now, if you would, join with me in this invitation. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, these words of Christ, as it challenges us to be more like him and to reflect on what that means. Lord, I pray that you be with us. And Father, that if there's anyone here who needs forgiveness, God, who needs to ask for your righteousness, God, your holiness, your love and care to come into their lives, that they know the altar is always open. Father, let us know that this is a place of love, of care, where we can share each other's burdens together. Be with us. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing "The Bond of Love."
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. Joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love.
Say that again.
We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love.
Now, as we close the service today, Ginger and Jonathan and myself will be out front to greet you. I just want to say thank you, Ginger, for your beautiful music this morning, and thank you for those words, Jonathan. We really needed to hear those words. Go in peace.